very pretty. Oh, well, have we not seen a weather change? Man, I think fall's in the air now. Fall is in the air. A lot of people have been asking, you know, when we go to Florida for a month, is it Destin, and how close to this hurricane? It got within 50 miles of where we stayed. One little inch or so on the weather map, another direction, and I don't guess we'd have a place to go. Because, I mean, it destroyed Panama City. I don't know how many of you all have been to Panama City. It's just about off the face of the map now. And then Mexico Beach, which is just south of Panama City, is off the beach. I mean, off the map, too. So, terrible down there. The hardest storm to hit the Panhandle of Florida in a long, long, long time. So, needs a lot of prayers down there. A lot of churches got tore up. A lot of people didn't have a church to go to this morning. So, we're fortunate that our little church, sometimes as it is, sometimes we take it for granted, but we had a church to come to this morning. A lot of people down south didn't have a church to go to this morning because it's been devastating. So, anyway, we're glad that you're here. And a lot of people have been asking me a little bit and concerned about our attendance. Nobody's more concerned than I am. I don't know. I call people. People have just got busy lives. That's what I see. And sometimes they just don't, their lives is more busy on Sundays than it is any other time. And, you know, nobody seems to tell me that they're mad at anybody or anything, but I made this vow a long time ago, as long as I have health. My health could go this next week. But as long as I got health, and if I got somebody to preach to, I'm going to preach. And I got this camera that follows me back here, and that we reach out to a lot of people on camera. And I will say this to you. Even with our group being probably about as small this year as any other time, with God's amazing grace, our money is not off very much this year. A lot of you know that when it's low like this, a lot of people start digging a little deeper because it takes what it takes to keep this place going. And one other thing that I really haven't brought to anybody's attention that now as we come to the end of this year, I'm going to bring it to your attention because I didn't know how long it would last. If you remember last year, our church started getting some astronomical water bills because they came out here and they redid something and Monica could probably explain that more, but because of the acreage that we own, our water bill went from $60, $70 a month to every 2 months it was $300 and $400. Well, back at the first of the year, I called the water company and I just sort of let them have it with both barrels. And I told them, I said, it's a crying shame that a little congregation, a little church up here has to decide whether we can have any service or whether or not we can have any staff or whether or not we can have any heat because we have to make sure we got water. Because y'all are charging astronomical amounts of stuff for water. And I said, it's just a crying shame. I said, we'll do our best to pay it, but I'm telling you, it's really affecting our church. And that's all I said. And they said, well, I'm sorry, Lord, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Since that phone call, I don't know why, except for the grace of God, they've been giving us credits every month. And our water bill and sewer bill this year, that's the reason our finances is held in check, is our water bill and finances this year has cost us about $150 for the entire year. I didn't say anything to you guys as a congregation because I don't know how long this is going to last. But believe me, I got somebody's attention and they said, well, maybe we ought to do this little church a little bit. So I don't know. I don't ask no questions. I don't know why. I don't call them. I don't bring them to their attention. Maybe somebody's asleep at the wheel and we don't want to wake them up. So, but just really keep that. I think that's just God's grace of reaching out to us and saying, hey, you know, we're doing something here right. And let's keep the doors open as long as we can. So, all right. Yes, ma'am.
How's Truman doing?
Truman Monroe?
They brought down.
Truman's had a rough year, but he's better, a little better. But they've gone back to teaching at their church, a teaching, a Sunday school class. And Truman is just not, Truman does not have the ability to preach anymore. He's had a pretty rough year. He's got Parkinson's disease, and there's a lot going on with Truman. But, I mean, he still functions okay, you know. And, of course, you know, I talk to him 2 or 3 times a week. They love this little place, but he just cannot take over for me anymore. Just doesn't quite have the capability of doing that anymore. And so, but I appreciate you asking. I'll tell them if you guys ask about it, both. They really do keep up with you. And even though they're not here, they do support this church from time to time as well. So.
And Linda, his wife, was on a step stool. This has been a few months ago, but she fell and broke 8. All her ribs. And it took months of therapy and rehabilitation to get her to recover. So she's had a rough year. In addition to taking care of Truman, he suffers with Parkinson's, the onset of Parkinson's. And when Linda fell just off of a little foot and a half step stool, it flipped with her. And when she fell on the floor, the stool came back. She broke on one side, and the stool fell on top of the other side. So both times she broke all those ribs, but she's fully healed now. But they love this little church. They always ask about you all whenever we speak with them.
Yeah. And Truman was healthy for oh so many years, but you know I keep forgetting. Of course, you know he's getting on up. I mean he's not old, but I think Truman is 74 now, which to some of you that's not old. But you know Linda's 75, so they get a little bit of age on them now, and just not as healthy as they once were. But I appreciate y'all asking. All right, Kendra, here we go. God's answers. How to put Jesus first in your life. And believe me, we need to put Jesus first place in our lives. Now, when I think about this, I understand my 3 golden rules about how do you do that. Number one, you study God's Word. Find you a Bible that you like. Find you a translation that you understand. And every day, take 5, 10, 15 minutes, half hour, however long you can, and read the Bible. Develop your prayer life. Understand, prayer is important on every level. Whether you're praying for somebody, but always keep in mind, when I talk about prayer life, prayer is that you always doing the talking. Let God speak to you. And then church attendance. You need to be in church. Now, everybody deserves vacation. People are going to get sick on occasions. But you need to be in God's house. Find you a place where they preach the gospel. If you're watching me by internet, find a place that preaches the gospel and loves Jesus. There's churches that's like that. All right, Kendra, here we go. Psalms 34, 1 through 4. I will bless God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. All times. Good times, bad times, hard times. No matter what the times are, no matter what you're dealing with, I will bless God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's an attitude. Everybody here got an attitude, don't you? We need an attitude for God. You got an attitude for everything else? So believe me, get an attitude for God. My soul shall make her boast in God. And the meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Let me put that in everyday language. I talk to God, and God talks to me. That's what it's all about. Talk to God. You don't have to always be with your head bowed and your eyes closed and some holy stance. You can talk to God. Have a conversation with God. And then listen, let him talk to you. You'll be surprised what he might say. You might even be surprised. He's even got a sense of humor. God told me a joke the other day. Well, I ain't going to take it, but I don't know. It was a good joke. Oh, magnify God with me, and let us exalt his name together. Us, the church, us, when we're together as family, at the dinner table, whatever we're doing, let's what? Exalt, which means put up, put before, put first place, put number one. His name together. I sought God, and he what? Answered me. And what did he do? He delivered me from all my fears. When I look at the world we live in today, and all the pastor friends that I got, when we get together and we talk, we have never seen such times that the churches are going through today than right now. The big churches are surviving. The little churches are folding up left and right. I mean, literally, they're locking their doors and they're putting them up for sale. And it's not just Baptist churches or Methodist churches. It's Pentecostal churches. Even Catholics can't find enough priests to go around. I mean, they're really looking at what they're going to have to do about this situation. The church in these last days is suffering more than any other time in history because people have let Satan take over. And they got their minds so busy, their time, they don't manage. If there's one thing I say all the time, believe me, he hits me at this too. Satan loves to get on your watch, on your clock. He loves to manage your time and mess with you with your time. Because we all live by time. I don't care whether you're retired or not. You live by that almighty watch, almighty clock. The sun comes up, comes down by time. We go to work by time. We go to bed by time. We watch TV by time. We know what comes on at 9 o'clock at night on Channel 11 on Monday nights. Maybe that's our favorite. We live by the time. Is that true? I mean, time controls our life. Even when we sleep, it's controlling our time because we have to have an alarm clock to get us up. Controls. We are all controlled by time. Understand that? I saw God and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I tell you, I never seem to get on this time. I tell you what scares me is how fast time is going. I remember when I was as young and as good looking as Calvin. I do. Man, speaking of Calvin, man, he was one happy man last Sunday. I don't know what the deal was, but he was the happiest man last Sunday.
I don't know
about it. Oh, and the women said, amen, amen. You know, that's right. But isn't it true? I mean, seriously, I've been here 32 years, and sometimes it seemed like it was just yesterday that I walked in this building, and Monica and two small children.
One
of diapers. Yeah. Now, the kids are grown and Mark and I are in. So, you know, it's time has a way of just going. But I'm still a believer in this. No matter how fast time is going, baby, it can be in the matter of minutes of this trumpet sounding. The more you look out and you see the church in distress, Jesus is coming. And I tell you, once I leave this world, I'm not going to. But up to the point I leave this world, I feel sorry for the people that's going to be left behind. Because there's going to be some members of this church that's going to be left behind. And that is a crying shame. All right, here we go, Kendra. Psalms 22, 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto God and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now, obviously, Monica and I are not going to be here for Thanksgiving, but I'll tell you this. This is a time of year as we get closer to Thanksgiving understand our minds are geared toward what it is to be thankful. And no matter what you deal with, believe me, it could be worse. And understand, we need to be thankful for what we've got. And when you show thanks for what you've got, you might be surprised what's coming around the corner for you. But you keep being mad, you keep an attitude, you keep being sarcastic, you keep blaming God, and then everybody wonders why my life just don't seem to get any better. And I don't know that life's going to get any better. Because God didn't promise that your life would be together at all times. He just said, I will get you through it. I will be with you. I will walk with you. I will be there and do everything that I can for you. And one day when you take your last breath, you won't have no more words left because you're coming home. That's what God promised you. Give me a hand of applause. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That's just an attitude. When I sing praises, I have an attitude. That's what it's about. That I am thankful for what I am, what I've got, what I'm doing. And no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, I think this is why I'm still alive today. It's because I try not to complain about what's going on with me. I don't do that. What it is what it is. That's how I deal with stuff. Do the best I can with what comes my way. And believe me, I get it awfully. The place where I'm at now, and Marcia can tell you because this is her world, I feel sorry for the nurses and the techs, as this one knows as well, Olivia, what all they have to deal with in these clinics. These people come in with some of the most goofiest, awful attitudes that you've ever seen. They're mad at life, they're mad at everything because they're going to get stuck with two huge needles, and they're going to have to sit there for 4 hours. And sit, and they just come in with some of the, and they take it out on these people. And yet, they're saying, yes, sir, no, sir, we're here for you. We're going to do the best we can because they have to be professional at all times. Now, I show up at the scene out here in Shepherdsville. And, well, I'm the angel. What can I say? I mean, I don't know how else to put it. You agree with you, Marcia?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they all come running to me sometimes. And I'm sitting there. Can you believe? And I said, hey, calm down, it'll be okay. Especially when those that are coming off and those that are coming in, those coming off want to get off early, and those coming in come in early. Oh, it gets to be fun, don't it? Now these two know what I'm talking about. It's a three-ring circus. Trying to get people, because you see, you're supposed to sit there for 3 to 4 hours, but sometimes you get tired of sitting there. Say, hey, take me off of here. Of course, they got to sign a book, and they got to do everything else, you know? And the nurse was like, oh, you don't want to do that. But ultimately, you're your own boss. They can't force you to sit there. So by the time they're trying to get you off these machines, and here comes the whole second stage group, second shift, third group, whatever the case is, and they all meet right in there. And I mean, it really gets to me. And I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm just sort of watching this. Running down, you know, they're running this way, they're running that way, the blood's going this way, the blood's going that way. I'm just saying, that's the most entertaining thing I've ever watched in my life. I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my candy bar, watching all this, you know. One of them run by one time, I said, you better slow down. Now, I say all that just to that, and maybe I'm having a little more fun here than I need to have, because it is a very serious operation. But believe me, if you didn't have a little bit of a sense of humor, these women would pull their hair out. And men, there's some men that do this as well. But I tell you, that's why I say it's a calling, what these people do. It's a calling, what Olivia does, what Marcia does, because they're dealing with these people's lives and their attitudes and everything about that. And they really are there to try to save them. That's why I don't complain. And sometimes they have to stick me more than once. But I still don't complain because they're trying to keep me alive. Give these people a hand of applause. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. They're never a language. morning, noon, night, whether you're sleeping 7 days a week, we should be praising the Lord. Now, common sense goes, we're not going to do that all the time, because we're going to have life has to stress us. We get nervous, we get anxiety, we get mad, people say stuff to us. So we all know life has its stresses. But through everything, take a deep breath and understand this. As a Christian, you may be in a world that's not in control, but God is in control over your life. Watch Him. Let Him lead you. Hang on to Him. This is how you put Christ first in your life, is let Him lead the way that you follow. And He can run a blocker for you, tackle for you. Because any quarterback can tell you, because believe me, we're talking about general strength, but I played defensive tackle. I hated quarterbacks. I like to eat their lunch. Okay? But a quarterback is only as good as 7, 4, 5 guys on that line to protect him. Now let me tell you something. There's a lot of conversation that took place on that line. I look up at that quarterback and I said, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. You know, and then the lineman was asking, oh no, you got to come through me. I said, it made no difference to me. I'm coming through somebody. You know, they call that little talk goes on between me and on the line there. Now this is high school. Can you imagine on a college and pro level what it gets like? But if you give that quarterback enough time to throw that ball or create a path for him to run, that's how you get touchdowns. And that's exactly really what Jesus does. He creates the paths for us to get to our goals in life. How's that for a football analogy? Huh? Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me, please. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, what a privilege to be in your house among God's wonderful people. Father, I just pray that you would truly be with our church. Those who are out, Father, I pray that they know the urgency to be in God's house. Because everybody's lives just seems to be so busy. But Father, we need to take this hour or 2 hours on Sunday mornings to give you. I am so thankful for the ones who are here today, and I love them very much. Fathers, we have this invitation time for everyone here that is lost, that has never made a public confession to Jesus. This is the day. No one is promised tomorrow, and we all know the Lord can come at any time. Father, we pray. Maybe those need a quiet time at this altar. We invite them to come. Maybe they need for me to have a word of prayer with them. We truly would like that as well. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Watch over these moments. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Stephanie, what's her name?
I want to sing, He Touched Me.
Would you come as we sing?